Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
We want a trial to be fair, for the American people to think it should be fair, but not to be a cover-up, not to be something where there are witnesses who have direct knowledge as to what happened, do not testify. So I am sending this letter this morning to all of my colleagues, Democrat and Republican, in the hopes that we can come together on a fair trial.
All right, so that's not for a while. That's Chuck Schumer talking about the Senate and what they will do. It still has to be cleaned up as far as the vote and everything else is concerned on the Hill when it comes to Congress. But what's shaken there is some of these centrist Democrats that the president thought might be on his side have jumped across the line. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. As we kick off an important week, because believe it or not, the jolly man in the suit is coming down the chimney sooner than you would think. It is a very short week, 10 days, whatever, until we hit Christmas Day for those of you who celebrate Christmas. And by the way, we're going to have some special end-of-the-year shows coming up because, boy, did we interview a lot of incredibly interesting people, including authors of all sorts. Don't ever let anyone tell you you don't have a book in you, because we have met a lot of people that came up with some books that have done quite well. Thank you very much. All right, speaking of not doing quite well, the president, not as far as the votes are concerned, but I don't think that's a wild surprise because the Democrats have the edge. I think the disappointment for the White House is that those that were centrist Democrats that they thought they were going to get support from have said, no, we're voting to impeach. So some of those allies who were being encouraged to be there and to jump sides, so to speak, are not doing it. Because the White House was definitely blitzing them. They know that there have been a lot of constituents in some of these cases that aren't happy with what's happening in particular areas. And this full and fair trial, live testimony from Mick Mulvaney, the White House chief of staff and other administration officials, we'll see, because that's probably not going to happen until January. In fact, I think I would be safe to say January when I've told you already it's almost the end of the year. The House Judiciary Committee releases 658 pages of riveting reporting accusing the president of criminal bribery and wire fraud. So it was all factual. This is what they're saying. And it says that Trump's actions in soliciting political investigations from the Ukrainian president, Zelensky, met the constitutional criminal standards for bribery. That's why they're going to vote on this. They're going to vote on the articles. The report also says that the president's July phone call with the president of the Ukraine, where he asked for the investigation of former VP Joe Biden, met the standard of federal wire fraud. Now, it's interesting, there were three different Democrats with backgrounds in national security who came out in favor of opening an impeachment inquiry into the president's conduct. They have decided to vote for impeachment. And one of them is a former CIA officer, one's a former CIA analyst, and one's a former Navy commander. They already said that a couple of months ago, so I just don't think that's a shock. In New Jersey, Congressman Andy Kim announced his support for impeachment. He said with a sense of humility, acknowledging that some of his constituents disagreed, but saying that the House vote will determine the framework of our democracy, what constitutes acceptable behavior by future presidents, and the kind of country our children and grandchildren will grow up in. Of course, this is the deal. Some of these centrists were trying to kind of step in one direction and then another direction, because what is it about? It's about getting reelected. So they're looking at the landscape, and I believe, and trying to make a decision. The House Rules Committee, so you get the menu if you missed it the first time around, meet on Tuesday to debate the articles of impeachment. They'll be debated and voted on by the full chamber. That'll happen in a room off the House gallery. That could last way deep into the night, depending on amendments perhaps thrown up by Republicans. The outcome is going to be the Democrats. They're the majority on the panel, so they're going to vote for that. Then they're going to have a procedural vote by the full House, probably by mid-afternoon on Wednesday, maybe a little bit later, launching the debate, and that will last a couple of hours. And it'll mean an evening vote on the articles of impeachment, and then they move forward from there. And then that goes, like I mentioned before, goes to the Senate. They have to figure out how that's, what the parameters are going to be. However, Mitch McConnell, that's his baby. He's the Senate Majority Leader. He's the Republican from Kentucky who can decide. He'll negotiate with Schumer, and they'll figure it out. What's the starting date, the length everybody gets for opening arguments, how much time is set aside for senators to ask questions. So this is the question. What would be the question you would ask in all seriousness? What would be the question that you would want? What's the burning question that we have not heard that you would want? And the answer is, we keep hearing the same thing over and over again. If you could reverse engineer it, what would be the question that you would ask? Send that to me at katedelaneyradio.com. katedelaneyradio.com. So, what's going to happen with Senator Mitch Romney? He didn't comment at all on Monday. Lisa Murkowski from Alaska, she didn't really say much, just that McConnell and Schumer, hopefully they can work together. And so there's just more of that kind of dancing around. What do the constituents of these people, how do they feel? And knowing that, I think that's the way the needle is going to move, right? All right, I have to say this at the top because I'm a person and this is a wild non sequitur, but we need a little Christmas, right? So at Christmas, instead of diving into all the chocolates and everything else that I'm like a wood chipper eater. I would just, once you unleash me, you know how that is. I'm sure some of you are the same way. It's like you give somebody Christmas cookies and they're all great and you haven't had them, and next thing you know, how many have you had? That one cookie turns into whatever. But I like chilies, and I found out that eating chilies is therapeutic. Researchers are telling us that, right? It has to be true. They're saying eating chili peppers, so when you go to the store and you see those red hot chili peppers, don't poo-poo them. Pick a couple of them up. They're saying it can cut the risk of death from heart disease and stroke. Chili is a common ingredient. In Italy, they use it in a lot of food. So they compared the risk of death among 23,000 people, some of who ate chili, some of who didn't. You know what they found out? Of course, that if you ate chili, your risk from dying from a heart attack was 40% lower than those, than the others that were just eating it once in a while. So if you ate chili every day, oh boy, every day would be tough. What, on toast with jam? How do you do that? Put it in your coffee? I don't know. But they're saying that this is data from the Molly Sani study. That many people, they looked at southern Italy, and they're saying that it's incredible what it does to you when you eat it. Besides sweat and demand to have lots and lots of water immediately, right? How many of you could eat a whole chili? I bet you nobody in this audience, nobody could eat a whole chili. I mean, even I couldn't do that as much as I like the hot stuff. We're moving to numbers next. We can count.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637, plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen. Well, hopefully not. While pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.
Decided they were going to dump $86.4 billion in a day of major, major money market pressure. So guess what? What goes up must come down. In two operations carried out on Monday, the Feds injected $36.4 billion in overnight liquidity, as they call it, and $50 billion in 32-day liquidity. That extends into the new year. So eligible banks took far less than the $120 billion the Fed was willing to offer in the overnight repurchase agreements, or repo, as they call it. But that's a whole lot of loot, isn't it? I mean, they say that there was market pressure due to the tax payment and the Treasury debt auction settlement date and all of those wicked ingredients that make it very, very tough. So we know this, right? What is the Fed for? I could say something. I'm going to be kind. The Fed is legally charged by Congress to keep inflation low and stable and to promote, doesn't this sound like hogwash, maximum sustained job growth. For decades, the Fed is trying to accomplish the mandates by setting a bunch of short-term interest rates. And then there's that baseline for overall credit and the cost of it and on and on. But that's a whole lot of money. You know, things like treasury bills aren't any kind of a stimulus because they don't help longer-term borrowing costs. So there was kind of a bond. There was a crisis era bond buying, if you remember that, and they didn't want to roll into the same thing happening. So that's why that money was pumped into it. But that's a big number, isn't it? Okay, we keep talking about drones and robots. Are they going to take over the world? Are they going to take over your job? Are they going to drive us crazy? The bots are coming in many, many cases. They're four-wheeled robots that can navigate sidewalks, crosswalks. They can take food to college students. In fact, by me, there's a college that's very techie and engineer-friendly, and they have that happening. You can get food delivery, robot food delivery. So that's become a reality. Now they're saying that packages too, that might be what happens eventually with packages. You look at the delivery trucks that are going to handle 275 million holiday season shipments. So there is a push to see this happen. I don't know. I guess, I mean, how strange is it? How strange would it be? I just want you to hear me out. How strange would it be to get a ping on your phone that says, hey, your package is 20 seconds away. And then what do? Go out in the front yard and you catch it when the drone drops it? I'm just thinking, right? And you don't have to tip the drone. So the labor cost of a drone delivery is less than the labor cost of any other kind of delivery because it's autonomous, it's technology. But I don't know how much can they handle delivery-wise, and how does that work? I mean, I get how it works. I get how the robot food thing works, but people walking all over campus and the Kiwi bots and, you got to have humans working them somewhere behind the curtain. This seems to me it might not be efficient, but a lot of people that are testing it say it is going to be efficient. Here comes the drone. Here comes the bot. Wait, what if they're delivering at the same time? That would be confusing, wouldn't it? I think it'd be a little confusing. So in one way, I like technology. In another way, I kind of like the idea of face-to-face. So if I have to give the pizza guy a tip, who cares? World's oldest married couple, how they didn't kill each other. 80th wedding anniversary. Yep. Family and friends celebrating them. John and Charlotte Henderson. They live in Austin, Texas. 80 is incredible. They got married December 22nd, 1939, months after the start of the Second World War. John is 106, Charlotte 105. They got a Guinness World Record for the oldest married couple. That's wild. How do you, is it genes? Is it happy? What is it? How do you live to be 106 and 105 and a couple living that long? That's amazing. So they are in a senior living community. They threw a huge party at the community for them. Outside, they had a 1920s roadster similar to the one that they went out in years and years ago. And I saw a picture of them, and they look great. I mean, they don't look a day over 80, seriously. Just happy. I guess they say they've always been very forward-looking people, positive about the future, looking forward to tomorrow and what the future holds. They don't dwell on the past, and that's it. And it must have served them well, because I do believe that there is something to not worrying about everything, because how much of our life is about worrying, and it sounds like they knew how to move forward. They just knew how to knock that out of their minds and just go forward with whatever it was they were doing and deal with it. And so that probably has been part of the success. How about France? They recorded a 391-mile traffic jam, public transportation to a screeching halt, baby, 3 weeks of strikes over pension changes. And this is on the outskirts of Paris. Imagine if you were a tourist there. And people are just, it's just massive bodies. So President Macron's government is determined to push ahead with the plans despite the French transportation strikes. And there's disruption here on the 12th day. And it's over the pension. Only two metro trains with no drivers were fully running. The other 14 lines closed or very much partially running. I looked at some video of this traffic jam. This is where, in France, if you could work from home, that's what you would want. Because the unions want to push the strikes through Christmas and just protest. And then the others want to pull back on it. They're demanding better salaries and working conditions. Not a shock, right? Because anyone who goes on strike, what are they going to demand? There you go. I have some friends that live in Phoenix, and I was just reading a story about Phoenix, and I didn't realize this. A lot of people I know moved to the desert because they liked it and they liked the cost of living. But it's, you know, some of what used to be affordable there has jumped from what it was because so many people are moving there. That's what happens. When you find out the secret and you let the secret out, everybody moves there. So your $1,000 rent becomes $1,500, $1,600, $1,700. So Phoenix was considered to be an inexpensive place to live, but that's kind of changing. It's got the fastest rising rents in the nation. They jumped about 7% over the past year. And they're not the only ones with soaring rents, by the way. So they kind of become a victim of their own success. Californians who wanted cheaper housing, snowbirds fleeing from the winter weather, that kind of thing, pushed them in that direction. Other metro areas like Miami, Knoxville, Tennessee, Raleigh-Durham, Charlotte, North Carolina, Washington, D.C., Denver, Colorado Springs are also soaring in the rents because it got that reputation as, oh, this is a great place to live and doesn't cost much. Guess what happens when the word gets out? And where are the expensive places to really live? If you're listening to me in Seattle, ooh, pretty expensive. San Francisco, same thing. And plus they have a housing crisis and homelessness problems. And in Phoenix, they're saying that it's about spaces because they're running out of space. Running out of space. So luxury apartments, sky-high luxury apartments, they're starting to go up. And those rents jump every couple of quarters. Whew. That's what happens. You got to, you know, loose lips sink ships. I like this song, so I'm going to bail on this, hang with you, and listen.
Hitch up your reindeer. Go straight to the ghetto. Santa Claus, go straight to the ghetto.
We all hear the stories in the news. The good guy uses a gun to protect his family from criminals, and he's the one arrested. The legal system is not fair, and responsibly armed Americans are political targets. So here's how you can take a simple and rewarding journey to complete self-defense confidence. Simply text GCN to 87222 to discover how the USCCA can give you the training, education, legal, and financial protection you need to truly protect the people you love. Don't risk everything and leave your family vulnerable. Now it's time to prepare and protect yourself. So if you're ready to take your next step as a responsibly armed American, you're ready to truly become your family's ultimate protector. Text GCN to 87222. Discover your life-saving USCCA member benefits today. Again, that's text GCN to 87222.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
U.S. USA Radio News with Robin Walensky.
The market optimistic despite the political turmoil on Capitol Hill as the House of Representatives gets ready Wednesday for a vote on two articles of impeachment. President Trump pointing out how great the economy is doing on Twitter. It's been a record session on Wall Street. The Dow, NASDAQ, and S&P 500 all closing at all-time highs. Investors optimistic over the trade deal with China. The Dow gaining 101 points to close at 28,235. It's the 16th record close of 2019. The NASDAQ up 79 points, the 24th record of the year. The S&P 500 up 23 points, the 29th record of the year. And Boeing temporarily stopping production of its 737 MAX planes, this after those two crashes that left 346 people dead. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with The Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-370-2715.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-370-2715. That's 1-800-370-2715.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Shaman in our virtual green room, Joseph Galbraith, and he's written a book called Captain Star, The Native Pirate, and it's so cool to me. It pulled me in because, as many of you know, I used to live in California, and it's fascinating when you look at the history of California, and it wraps itself kind of around this and the Chumash people, and Joseph, you know, as I said, a shaman, and the deep, rich history he has and the knowledge about this subject and how he's wrapped it into this book that's great for children, but not just for children, I think for adults too. Joseph, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
My pleasure. It's great to talk to you.
All right, so before we dive into the book, you have to tell me about, because this obviously, is, you write about what you know about, how did you become a shaman?
Okay, first of all, I'm not a shaman.
Oh, you're not?
No, I am Chumash. My great uncle was a shaman. My uncle was Ophio. He practiced the herbs, things of that nature.
But, gotcha.
I draw the information and the knowledge from basically from my ancestors, my uncles. When they would talk about it, when they talked about my uncle Elopio and things of that nature.
Yes, yeah, so you learned about it from Uncle Elopio, and obviously you know a lot about, so you're not a shaman, but you know a lot about it. So I'm going to call you like a little apprentice, in a sense, because you know more than we do, and that is so fascinating. And how is that important and related to the story and the Chumash people?
important because it's a story that I've been trying to get out for a long time, but I'm not a writer. In fact, in school, this is me, okay? I was considered the dumbest kid in school.
Aww.
I couldn't read very well. At the time that I went to school, there was no such thing as learning disabilities. You were just either be able to read or you didn't. And I was one of those poor kids that couldn't read because I couldn't place the letters in the right order.
Ah, gotcha. So it's so incredible that you got this book out from talking about going from learning disabilities to telling this story. So what, if we pick up the book, what does this story tell us about? What will we learn? What will pull us in? Because I think it's a great story that does pull you in.
It begins in the late 1700s when the Chumash people and the different nations surrounding the Chumash area, the Kotonoans and different tribes, were living free along the California coastline. They had the Spanish roaming here and there. They had the English roaming here and there, but no one really controlled the area yet at that point. The story begins as the Catholic or the Christians started, the Catholic religion started moving into California with the missions and started building missions along the coast. One of their biggest duties when they brought the missions in is to make all the indigenous people Christians. And that meant bringing them in from their villages into the mission grounds and basically convert them from being a free people to an enslaved people.
Wow.
Cooks and working on the grounds, things of that nature. They weren't allowed to speak their native tongue, which is unfortunate because the Chumash language is pretty much lost now because of that. The dress, there wasn't a lot of clothing. It wasn't necessary for the Chumash people. But, of course, when the Christians got here, they, you know, you had to wear the long dresses and the pants and the long sleeve shirts to look like everybody else. Because you couldn't look like a native. You had to look like them, which they called the humans.
Wow, the humans. All right, so again, the book is called Captain Star, the Native Pirate and Shaman to the Chumash People, Keeper of the Land, Sea, and Sky for the Spirit God. You set us up for that story. And what's the lesson here? What do you hope people take away from reading your book?
What I hope that they take away is that the Chumash people were a peaceful nation. The majority of the different tribes, the Kotonoans near Monterey and there, were peaceful people. We were not warlike. We believed in the land and in the gods of the sea, the land, and the sky. And they gave us what we needed, and we gave back what we could. A lot of your other tribes along the Midwest, things of that nature, some of them were warring tribes. The Chumash people weren't. If another group came in to the area and said, you got to leave because we want this area, okay, it's not ours to say no anyway because it doesn't belong. The ground, the dirt, the water does not belong to us. It belongs to the Great Spirit. And if he feels that it's time for us to leave,
Boy, that's well put, and of course, that's wrapped into this story. And you have several characters, and we've got a couple of minutes left, but I like the character of Starfish. And you talk about in Chapter 2, in the years that followed, Starfish grew strong. When Starfish turned 10 years of age, it was time for him to start his training as Shaman of the Village. And we talked about that at the beginning, how that's what your uncle, of course, is the Shaman. So tell us a little bit about Starfish and the energy that Starfish learned through his studies.
Starfish was a very curious boy. Even from the age of 7, when he first saw the large tongas, which in Chumash is a tonga is a boat, but these were oversized boats in short ships, and Starfish from a village near Mora Bay. He would watch these ships go in and out, all the time. And one time he saw a ship come into shore, into a little inlet near Mora Bay. And he saw this bear-like character standing on one of the large tongas, coming in with other men. And what it was is that this bear-like character was a pirate. His name was Captain Salazar. And he was bear-like because he had a full beard, long hair, and he wore leathers and beautiful clothing. And it amazed Starfish to see this person, this human there. Well, years passed, and Captain Salazar became a friend to the Chumash people in that area. And in return, Salazar would bring goods and seeds to the people, and the people would give him safe harbor. Now, Starfish grew up knowing him, somewhat talking to him because he spoke Spanish and the people spoke their native tongue of Chumash, but they were able to still communicate through gestures. Now, at the age of 10, again in the late 1700s, was about the time that the mission started to come up the coastline, one of which was near between Mora Bay and San Luis Obispo, in that area. They were going to put a mission. Well, that meant bringing all the villages into the mission area. This was not accepted by most of the Chumash Nation, but they knew that they could not compete against long rifles and swords and the number of people that would come in. It wasn't the Padres that walked into the village to say, "Oh, we're here to make you good Christians." No, it was Spanish soldiers that came in and said, "You will go."
Yeah, they had no choice. Wow, it's fascinating. We don't want to give the whole story away. Love it. Captain Star, the native pirate and shaman to the Chumash people, keeper of the land, sea, and sky for the spirit gods. Look for me to post pictures of Morro Bay. I lived exactly where Joseph was talking about. Joseph, thanks so much for joining us on the show. We appreciate it.
The one thing I do want to say, if I could, and that is the book itself has no pictures in it. Because when I wrote the book, I wrote it in the respect that as you read it, I give you enough information to make your own picture in your mind what it looks like and what the star looks like and what the building looks like.
Nice. So the imagination, that's a perfect place to end this. Joseph, thank you.
Thank you so very much.
Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Warning, don't let your business get left behind in what is likely to be the biggest economic boom in recent history. If you need to build for your business to grow, call General Steel today for a pre-engineered steel building designed for your needs. No wasted space. Steel prices are expected to rise, but you can still lock in your price on a General Steel building. And you can still save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction. As much as half. But you must call now. If you need a church building, office, warehouse, manufacturing space, retail space, or more, call General Steel today. You can still get the General's 50-year structural warranty and General Steel quality, all at a price you can afford. So don't let rising steel prices put your project out of reach and stop you from making your company great.
800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. That's 800-965-1295.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid, mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Leadership in America, politics in America, open borders and immigration, political correctness, race relations in America, and this is just scratching the surface. We talk about it here on the show. In Author's Corner, I'm pleased to introduce you to Charlie Wurz. He's written a book called The Silent Thought, America in Transition and Crisis. We had such a great conversation off the air. Hey, Charlie, how are you?
Very good. How about yourself?
I'm excellent. Let's talk about what you and I talked about. What drove you to write this book and tackle all of this?
Well, I think first and foremost, the crisis I cite are very concerning. And then taking a look at why we don't have more people talking openly about those. And that's what led me to formulate this concept of silent thought.
Yeah, and you talk about this crossroads we're at and how critical it is at now, and what we saw happen in the 2016 presidential election and what we're seeing happening now, actually. And then if you catapult us forward, what's your biggest concern?
Well, I think we're continuing just to divide ourselves. I mean, we have all sorts of other influences from the rest of this world, from the rest, every other, especially these countries that want to undermine America. So if we continue to undermine ourselves, we just put ourselves more at risk and more vulnerable.
the title is perfect, The Silent Thought. How do we combat the negative consequences of silent thought?
Well, with respect or in context of these crises, it's a question of being more informed and certainly not dealing with them only in an emotional way, more with a thoughtful, analytical way. So, because with emotion, it sort of shuts down very quickly any thoughtful discussion or debate on these crises. So, most importantly, is to understand that what silent thought can do to us. It just removes that from our daily lives, and we don't give it enough critical analysis.
Yeah, and in the book, you specifically, like you say, you talk about several crises. Pick one for us and take us through that.
Well, I think two of them, leadership in America and politics in America, go hand in hand. And I think that, just quickly, one of the things that people don't realize is that how they do determine what our daily lives are all about. They seem to think it's in the abstract and it doesn't affect our daily lives, but it really does. But when I take leadership in America, for example, I'm talking about the leadership in Washington, D.C., primarily our national politics and so-called national leaders, starting with the presidency. If these people fail, then obviously the country's going to fail or stumble and not achieve or continue to achieve, you know, the greatness of what we all believe America is all about. So that's why that type of leadership has to be so genuine. I mean, we have to try to find a way to remove the politics from that leadership, because they're not truly leading if they're only leading in a way that serves themselves and not the people that have elected them.
Yeah. We're speaking with Charlie Wurz, and he's written a book called, and you can get it on Amazon, The Silent Thought, America in Transition and Crisis. I love what you say in Chapter 5. You talk about political correctness, and we always use, you know, the acronym PC. And you say at one point in this, you say, we have a political party in this country that self-identifies as progressives or progressive liberals. So does this represent all of America? And you say, certainly not, unless you're part of this group. So again, ask yourself, why are we concerned as Americans with political correctness? I believe we should be more concerned with American correctness and not just a set of subjective ideals promoted by a particular political party and those who may agree with it. Is this not just another example of an individual or group of people trying to influence others who don't agree with them? I mean, you put it so plainly, and I think you're just dead on with this, because we could take other labels and say the same thing, and this is another big divider, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It is a pretense. There certainly should be thoughtful, you know, dialogue and actions by everyone. But I truly believe that this is a charade. It's a pretense in order to shut down debate that a lot of people in this country, whether they be politicians, people in the media, simply want to shut down alternative views. So they disguise it as being politically correct, when really it's trying to change America with a narrow viewpoint, and that's just not what America is all about. That's the reason I compare it to American correctness. There's always going to be folks that will injure others in speech and unfortunately sometimes in action, but that doesn't mean we change what America, you know, how America became America, which is the freedom to speak our minds.
Yeah, absolutely. And I say it all the time, Charlie, on this show. I don't care what your label is, left of left, right of right, I'm in between, I don't know. Let's just have the conversation. And I think that's part of the problem. You said it, shutting it down. Imagine, it seems, back, if we go back into our history, there was open debate and thought, and you weren't so labelized or trying to find yourself in some sort of a group. Do you also think there's a problem with wanting to belong to a group, so you just throw out what you maybe really are thinking in the back of your mind?
Oh, sure. I mean, I think that we, certainly with these national politicians, to subscribe to one party just because it's maybe Democrat, Republican, whatever, that they have, if they ever earned it in the first place, they certainly have lost that obligation by anyone. We should think openly. If we start locking ourselves or become so dogmatic that we only think we're going to listen to one party's position, then we're really missing what's important to solve the problems we have in front of us. So you can't lock yourself into that perspective any longer, especially with the dysfunction of politics, our national politics that exists today. That's just not workable.
Yeah. How tough was it to write this book? Because there's so many different directions that you could have taken with it. And I love the way, and I said this in the beginning, how you organize the chapters, because you spell out the transitions, where we are and what's happened. Was it tough to decide what you were going to leave in and what you're going to leave out and what you're going to put in?
Well, it took, yeah, it was, but it was also very enjoyable because it gave me a chance to put my thoughts, as you say, in an organized way, and to illustrate why it's so important to not fall into this silent thought position. One of the things that is the most concerning is if people don't, and again, the book is, I don't know if it's, I want to use the word provoke or evoke, but I want people to not accept this as my opinion. I want them to hopefully consider these crises and this concept of silent thought, maybe in a way that they haven't thought before, and just challenge themselves to think differently. But if we continue on the road we are, I mean, we hear the phrase identity theft. If we continue, as a lot of folks do, and not think critically, we are yielding our identity to those who want to influence us.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can pick up the book on Amazon again, The Silent Thought, Charlie Wirz, America in Transition and Crisis. What do you hope people take away from reading this? And I think we've talked a little bit about that, but as we wrap it up, what do you really hope the big takeaway is?
Well, I hope the takeaway is that these crises do exist, and we could agree or disagree on how serious they are. And this certain transition period I talked about that was, I felt it was triggered by the 9/11 attack. Mm. Because again, when we think about it, we have almost a generation since then, and we have people who are going to be voting for the first time in the next presidential election in 2020 that were born that year or a year after, that now are going to be voting in probably one of the most important elections in recent history. The first one, I think, was 2016. But if only to, and that's why I encourage everyone, if this is a book I wrote intentionally to be a quick read, only because I would hope that people would read it a second time. I think you get much more out of it the second time you read it. But just more awareness and, you know, because again, if you look at the amount of people that vote or don't vote, and vote, they're not informed, that is a very serious concern. So again, the takeaway is to realize that it is one country, it's different from any other country in the world. It can be great, will be great, but everyone has to get more involved and not sit on the sidelines.
Absolutely. I love how you said that, and get out and vote for sure. Charlie Wirz, thank you so much. Pick up the book, The Silent Thought, America in Transition and Crisis. You can get it on Amazon. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen, well, hopefully not, while pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.